The dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the weight, the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as the Maker bows his head. The curtain torn in two, the dead are raised to life. It is finished, the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. To see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven at the cross.
Amen. Praise God that we are forgiven. And there's no other way to be forgiven, is there? I'd like you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Oh, how appropriate it is that we honor the mothers that God has given to us. Sometimes we wonder about why God gave our mothers us, but very few people doubt the love of their mother. And every day is Mother's Day, as every day is Father's Day, because the fifth commandment rules us, doesn't it? Honor your father and mother, and you'll live long on the earth. Today is a wonderful day to reverence our mothers and our grandmothers and all the ladies that are special in forming our lives. This morning we're going to see how great a mother's love is. It's astonishing, the love of a mother. Even when her children are disobedient, the mother's love and the mother's heart beats for her child. This morning, we're going to consider how God's love is greater and surpasses the love of any mother. As great as a mother's love is, God's love is greater. Let's stand together as we read about this in Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 16. The prophet Isaiah has just introduced in the very first part of this chapter that the Messiah is going to come and redeem not only Israel, the remnant of Israel, you see that in verse 6, but also all the nations of the Gentiles. And so God commands the creation in verse 13 to sing and to rejoice. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion, that's a name for believers, Zion said, God's people said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And God replies, can a woman forget her sucking child, a newborn infant, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls, the walls of protection, which had been removed, Babylon and Assyria had come through and conquered them. He says, thy walls are continually before me. There were other kinds of walls, other protections around them. Isn't this an encouraging passage of Scripture? And what God says is that as great as a mother's love is, there are some mothers that may not love their children. But God's love is greater than all the love the mothers have in all the world. And we're going to see how great the Father's love is for us this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask God, as we look in Your Scripture in a simple message of Your Gospel, we pray that we would stop resting in ourselves, stop trying to make our way to heaven, stop trying to save ourselves, and to realize that You have demonstrated Your love to us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I pray that You would break every heart. I pray that as we think about the love of a mother today, that we would see that the love of our Heavenly Father surpasses the love of a mother, as beautiful as the love of a mother is. Oh God, help us, Lord, to exalt You in Your love today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to be looking at a mother's love, and we're going to see that a mother's hope for their child is great, but God's hope for His children is greater. We're going to see a mother's hearing. A mother can hear things that no one else can hear. And as great as a mother's hearing is, especially for the cries of her children, God's hearing, His compassionate ear, is greater than the compassionate ear of a mother. A mother's heart is great and big, and it breaks every time her child goes astray. But the heart of God breaks more and is even greater than the heart of any mother. A mother's hands are tender. A mother's hands are filled with love and hard work. Mothers barely make it through the day most of the time. And yet God's work for us and God's loving hands on our behalf with our names written in His hands are greater than the hands of a mother, more loving than the hands of even a mother. And we think of a mother's help and her protective care of that baby. Don't mess with mom when she's got that little infant. She'll protect that baby, but yet God's help and protection for us is greater. This is the outline of the message this morning, but we're going to see that you can't even comprehend the love of God this morning. It's so much greater than you can ever imagine. God is on your side if you're in Christ. His love is not for the righteous. His love is for undeserving sinners. So if you're here as an undeserving sinner, run to the arms of God and He will embrace you in His arms. So let's consider a mother's hope. You know, when the baby comes out of the womb, most babies are precious, but some babies are really ugly, you know? Amen. And there's some faces that only a mother can love. But you know, we're all ugly in God's sight. God sees the real us, doesn't He? He sees who we really are, and yet He still loves us. Now sometimes, a mother will do, not sometimes, but all the time, a mother wants to give the very best for their children. And make them successful, regardless of what we look like, because we don't choose our looks, do we? And so, you know, this morning, Jill was up, even though she's got the flu, she's sick. I don't think it's a swine flu, I think it's a wine flu. She's complaining a lot. But anyway, sorry, my quickest influence on her. But a mother does everything to give that child hope and optimism in life. I mean, from the very time they're born, they're getting the best foods, you know. My wife will go to the store, get fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and she'll cook those vegetables over a flame and puree them and put them in little containers and make sure that baby has the very best food. We give our children the best education that we possibly can give them. We want them to be prepared. We give them time and love and training. We give them our prayers and we point them in the right direction and we have great hope and we try to give them hope in life. But there are many situations in life that even a mother does not have the answers for. There are many situations and troubles and hardships that a mother cannot give hope to her children. She tries. The greatest hope that we want for our children is that they will be saved. Amen? But no mother can save their child. As great as a mother's hopes are, the hope that God gives us is even greater. We read in verse 13 of Isaiah 49, the introduction of the Messiah has been given. And God says, oh, there's hope. You know, the context is that Israel has been in captivity, first by Assyria and later by Babylon. And they feel forsaken of God. Who will deliver us? God has forgotten about us. And God says, no, there is hope. I'll never forget about you. I have hope for you more than a mother has hope for their child. He says, sing, O heavens, in verse 13, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people, and He will have mercy upon His afflicted. You know, you don't have mercy on innocent people, do you? You have mercy on guilty people. And the affliction that Israel had at this time, they brought upon them their own selves. And isn't that the case? You begin with a child and you tell them, don't touch the stove, right? And what do? They touch the stove. And you tell them, don't hang out with that guy. He's bad news. And what do? They go hang out with that guy. You say, don't go over there, you're going to fall into the pit. And what do? They fall into the pit. And we're all like that. All we like sheep have what? We've gone astray. Every one of us has gone his own way. But God has a hope for us to get us out of the affliction. He has mercy on His afflicted, like any mother would have on their child. Because the latter part of that verse in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, we like sheep have gone astray, we've gone everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon Him, upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Jesus came down into the pit. He got Himself dirty with this world, yet without sin. He came into this world, this crummy, grimy world, to rescue us. Oh, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is greater than any hope that a mother can give for their children. But you know, another thing a mother has is not only hope for her children. She's got these antennas. You can't see them. She's got hearing that no one else on earth is given. Only a mother is given this kind of hearing. I don't know how my mother knew everything about me. I would set my watch forward and say my watch was wrong because I was late. And she'd say, "You're lying to me." It's like she could see into my heart. You ever wonder how your mother knew all that stuff about you? I don't know, but the Lord has given a mother some amazing hearing. A mother can tell whether you're telling the truth or not. Another thing a mother can do is, a mother has such hearing that she can hear the cry of her infant child and know if something's wrong. Mothers, you know that when you hear the sound of that baby, it could be in the middle of the night, and you know whether they just need their diaper changed or whether there's something wrong. And I've seen my wife awake me, and because she jumped out of bed and ran to the room and found out that he was near climbing over the crib. Aren't you glad for a mother's hearing? A mother is compassionate. She hears the cry of the baby and she runs to the aid this morning. Even a father has compassion. This morning I was preparing this message and I heard the voice of my son Evan. And when I hear him cry, except when he's being rebellious, you know, when he's being rebellious, I kind of just tell him, "That's enough," lovingly. And he stops. It's amazing. They know more than you think they do. But this morning I heard him and I could tell he was just getting up and he just wanted a hug. And I was hoping that I'd be the first one to make it to the room. You ever felt that way as a parent? I ran over to the crib and I just jumped in there and I, not in the crib, but in the room. Get that image out of your mind. And I said, "Good morning, Evan." And he stopped crying immediately. And I couldn't wait to hold him next to my chest. And I just tell him, and I love his little hands that just cling on to the suit coat. And I just held him there and walked around. I love to hear the voice of my son. I love it. I mean, it's better than gold. It's better than a steak meal. I love my son. And as much as a father and a mother loves their little infant child, do you know that God loves you as His child? That you have received Christ as your Savior. God has a love for you that you cannot even comprehend. Regardless of what you look like, even on the inside, God loves you and He's going to clean you up. He loves you. He's got hearing and He hears every cry. He hears every pain in your heart. He knows what you're going through. I don't know what you're carrying right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. You feel the weight like the Israelites felt in Babylon and Assyria. You feel some things are unjust. And yet you know that at the very root of all of our problems is our sinful, selfish nature. Isn't that right? And yet God hears your cry. I want you to look at verse 14 in Isaiah 49. Zion said to the Lord, Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." You know, first of all, that wasn't a true statement, was it? God had not forsaken them. They had forsaken God. It wasn't a true statement. But God replies to them, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, her newborn infant, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." I want you to notice that the name by which his child is called is Zion. What a special name. That's the name for God's chosen people. That's the name for God's believing people. These are the believing people in Assyria and in Babylon. And God says, "I'll never forget you. I love you like a mother loves her infant." You know what? You may know God. You may know His name. You may know all about Him. And that is very special and that is very precious. But what is much more important than you knowing God or knowing about Him is that He knows your name. He knows you. And there are many people that say that they know God. There are many people that profess to know Jesus Christ. They even have learned much about Him. Maybe they even attend church with God's people. But not everyone who names the name of Christ is owned by Jesus Christ. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is a genuine Christian. There are many who are nominal Christians, that is, Christian in name only. You know, we can know all about God, but oh, when we come to know Christ, it's not just that we know Him, it's that He knows us. He knows our name, Zion, the chosen of God. I want to ask you this morning, does God know your name? Oh, if you are His, then He knows your name. He's listening to you. He hears you. And He loves you. And He loves you not because you're good. You know that? The Bible says in Romans that there is none good. There's none righteous. There's no one that seeks after God. There's no one that understands God. God doesn't love you because you're good. God loves you because He's good. God loves the unlovable. God loves the undeserving. God loves the unlovely. God loves you, if you're in Christ, more than a mother could ever love her baby. He says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Oh, He hears you. He loves you because He is good. If you want to see how bad Israel was, look at in Isaiah 48, the chapter before. He tells them in verse 18, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." See, they didn't hearken unto God's commandments. And neither have any of us. We've all gone astray. We've all rebelled. We're not acceptable before God. None of us. No one on the whole earth. That is why God sent Jesus to the earth. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," that is, from that heart of faith and believing and turning away from this whole world, anyone who comes to God like that, bringing not their good works, but their sin and their misery to God, God will save them. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in that way shall be" what? They'll be saved. Go to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Run to Jesus. His arms are open. He hears your cry. His heart bleeds for you more than a mother's heart bleeds when she hears the cry of her little one. Turn over to Romans 8. Because I want you to know that God, His hope for you is better than a mother's hope. And oh, how wonderful a mother's hope is. His hearing of you is greater than a mother's hearing for her child. But God's heart for you is greater than the heart that a mother has for her little baby. We read that verse that God will never forget you or forsake you. And He gives the picture of a mother with her little baby. And I want you to see the love of God and how great and how deep and how wide it is. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. He He's talking about how we are loved. Not because of us, but because of God. He says, what shall we say to these things? And of course, the very first verse of that chapter, what he's talking about, what shall we say to this? The first verse says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is that such an important statement? Because we should all be condemned. We all deserve eternity in the lake of fire. That's the whole point of the book of Romans. The law condemns us. We've broken all of God's commandments. It's not that we don't sin here and we don't sin there. We're working on this area or that area. We do nothing but sin. We're condemned. And yet, there's another way of righteousness outside of good behavior. Outside of keeping the law. This is the message of the Bible. And it's not being preached today. There is no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. And so what shall we say to these things? Verse 31. If God be for us, that is, if God's paving the way of heaven for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen, the only way that a sinner is allowed into heaven is if they're justified through an infinitely perfect human being who is also God. That's the only way. Because sin must be paid for forever. It's an offense against an infinite being. So either you have to pay for it forever, or an infinite being has to take the payment himself. And guess what? An infinite being did. Jesus Christ bore the wrath of God for you. And so he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Listen, if God paved the way to heaven for you through Jesus Christ, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I want you to listen to the heart of God here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now I can charge you and I can say you've lied. Is that true? Have you all lied? Have you all stolen? Have you all been covetous? Have you disobeyed your mother and father here on Mother's Day? Have you done that? Mothers, have your children disobeyed you? Well, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Yes, we're all sinners. But who will charge us? No one. Why? Because it is God who justifies. And how are we justified? Not through our good works, but through the bloody death and the perfect resurrection of Jesus. It is God who justifieth. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Mothers, I know that your heart is moved by your children. Turn back to Isaiah 49, because the question is asked about the heart of this woman, the heart of God, the heart of a mother, and the heart of God. Isaiah 49:15, back in our text. Can a woman forget her sucking child? And most of us would say to that, no way. Impossible. And yet we're not God, are we? We don't see into the hearts of every mother. And as rare as it is, there is a very tiny possibility that there are some mothers that have their babies and put them in dumpsters. That put them in some place to die. And that's unthinkable, isn't it? It's unthinkable. Yet there are a small, tiny percentage of horrible things that occur because a mother does that which is unnatural. Most of the time, a child's going to come into the world and the heart of that mother is going to be so strong that no matter what happens, that child's going to be loved. But there's a tiny possibility that they won't be loved. But that possibility does not exist with God. Amen? It doesn't exist. God's heart will never stop loving you. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, I'll never forget you in this verse. I'll never forget you. I remember one time as a child, one of the most horrific things that you can ever experience as a little child is to get lost. You feel forsaken. You feel forgotten. And I remember I was so bold as a child. I would go this place and that place because I always knew my mother was right there by my side. Well, one day I remember I went to a park near our house, and for some reason I lost sight of my mother. And the sheer terror that coursed through my heart. I was then, after that, afraid of getting lost. And I was always asking my mother, you're not going to leave me. You're not going to leave me. We would go to the city on the train to see my dad, who worked downtown at the First National Bank of Chicago. And I'd say, Mom, before I never thought about it, but now I was asking, Mom, you're not going to lose me in the city, are you? Mothers, have you had your children ask you that? There's a great fear. Well, listen, no matter what you're going through in life, I want you to know that the possibility, if you are God's child, the possibility of God forgetting you and forsaking you is zero. It cannot happen. God's heart, as great as a mother's heart is, God's heart of compassion is greater. It's even greater than a father. Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We read in verse 10 that God, as a father, has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth or has compassion on his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Have you ever walked into the room when you knew your child, your son or daughter needed to have the Board of Education apply to the seat of learning? And you knew that they were guilty. You got into the room and you saw their contrition, and you had told them that if they did such and such, they were going to get such and such. You walk into the room and you see their contrition and it's genuine, and you pity them. And you do not give them after their iniquities and their sins. Now, God does not pardon us just because of our contrition. We need to have that. We need to have that repentance. But God pardons us because Jesus Christ takes what we deserve. He takes our full punishment. Oh, God's heart is greater than the heart of a mother, greater than the heart of a father. And then we think on this Mother's Day of the heart of a mom and how when things go wrong, the mom is always there to let their child bury their head in her neck. And when that child is just crying uncontrollably, who is it that takes her blouse or her apron or whatever and she wipes the tears away, right? But we read in Revelation 21 that there's coming a day when God will welcome all of His children into His heaven, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, the love that God has for us. We see His hope for us. We see His hearing for us. We see His heart for us. And then we think of His hands. And we can think of God's hands as we think of a mother's hands. A mother's hands are tender and precious. and always filled with love, and the mother is always there to catch the child, always there to pick the child up when they've fallen. And the love from a mother's hands. But when you look at a mother's hands, many times they're dry and they're cracked and they're worn, and there's probably dirt underneath because she's not only doing the dishes, she's doing the gardening. She may even mow the lawn when dad's out of town. Somebody's got to do it. And if no one else is there, who gets stuck doing it? Mom. Aren't you glad for Mom? She does everything. If Mom gets sick, forget it. The whole universe falls apart, right? Mother's hands are so precious. But I want you to see that the hands of God, as loving as a mother's hands are, the hands of God are more loving. Back in Isaiah 49, verse 16. In verse 15, he says, I'll never forget you. A mother may forget, but I'll never forget you, and I'll never forsake you. He says, behold, look at this. Look at me. I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. In the ancient world, a slave would have the name of his master written on his hand. That was what a slave would receive. Here we have the master putting the slave's name on his hands. And this is the master of everyone. And he loves you so much that he's put his name on your hands. And of course, there was a song written about this verse by Charles Wesley. He wrote, arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety, my guarantee of eternal life stands. My name is written on his hands. Do you know that Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, when those nails were pounded into his flesh, into his hands, do you know what pounded those nails into his flesh? It was the weight of your sin and the weight of my sin. And he loved you so much that he took those marks for you. So that now, as he's before the Father's throne, he is the Lamb. He is the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And when we see him in heaven, we'll see him as a Lamb. And we'll see his hands. And so you know that everything that Jesus does, if he gives something or if he takes something, our name is always in his remembrance. He will always be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, because your name is written on his hands. And yet it's not just our name that is written. It says, you are written on his hand. You. It's not just your name. God knows everything about you. He knows your situation. He is touched with your weaknesses and with your infirmities. And as a high priest, he pleads for you with his name written, with your name written on his hands. And that's why we just sang the song, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. He loves us. And as beautiful and loving as a mother's hands are, God's hands are better than a mother's hands. Finally, I want you to see that a mother's help is wonderful. You know, no matter what trouble a child gets themselves into, a mother wants to get that child out of that trouble. A mother sees a child in trouble and the mother wants to run to their rescue. And God is the same way with his children. He says in verse 16, not only is our name written in the palms of his hands, it says, thy walls are continually before me. And this is vivid because the context of this is that these people's cities, the walls were torn down from all of their cities. In other words, they were left vulnerable and unprotected. God had promised them a land. And he said, you're going to inhabit these walled cities. And they came in and they conquered Canaan and they inhabited the walled cities for year after year after year. And all the promises of God seemed to be true. But He also said that if you forsake Me, I'll take you out of that land and I'll put you in the hands of foreigners. And that's exactly what happened. But even when He did that, He never stopped loving them. Aren't you glad that God's help and His protection are great, even though you're a sinner? I want you to consider how He says, your walls are continually before Me. And obviously these were not physical walls. You know, physical walls, physical protection is vain for you if you don't have Christ as your Savior. Isn't that right? You can have all the gates and the alarms, but your house can still be broken into. On the other hand, you can go to a foreign country as a missionary. Miss Judy can describe this for you. And be exposed to all kinds of vulnerabilities and dangers and be way more protected than the richest man on the planet. Isn't that right? You are safer in the center of the will of God than you are with all the protections that you have that this carnal world can offer you. And I want you to think about a mother and her help and her protection when that little baby is in her arms. That mother is holding that baby, protecting that baby, never want any harm to happen to that baby. The Bible says in John 10, records the words of Jesus. John 10 and verse 28, Jesus says, I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them to Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. You have a protective barrier around you, the help and the tower, the strong tower of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you ever seen a child, one of your children, fall off a bike or skin their knee? Who was there? Yeah, Dad was there, but he didn't do it. He said, go on and get back on the bike. No, Mom was there with Band-Aids, hopefully not hydrogen peroxide, because that really hurts. But Neosporin came out. Boy, I was happy for that. That didn't sting. But Mom was always there giving us what was best, what we needed, whether we liked it or not, because she was there to protect us. She was there to help us. Listen, this morning, I don't know if you know Jesus Christ, but if you do, you know that His love is greater than a mother's love. If you don't know the Heavenly Father, you don't know what true love is. Because His hope is greater than a mother's hope. His hearing is greater than a mother's hearing. Her antennas are great, but His hearing is better. A mother's heart is big, but oh, the father's heart breaks when his children hurt. A mother's hands are soft and tender for love, and they're also dried and chapped because they work so hard on the behalf of that child. And God's hands are the same way, but even greater. And a mother's help and protection around her child is amazing. But God's love is greater.